Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, I wonder if you would take care of some of Mr. Newhouse come in. He publishes another paper, he also publishes Bulletin, and his wife sent down this, and it's copy of the next issue of Bulletin.
Soviet Jew thing, and there's only
30%, 29% awareness of the Soviet exit tax.
I don't feel it.
And we asked those people the question that, you know, some congressmen feel that until the Russians stop charging the exit
only tax, the people that are Asian, so
we should not go forward with the trade deal.
30%.
Of the 30%, they're only 30% aware of the Soviet exit tax. Of those, only 29% agree that we should hold up on our trade agreement with the Soviet Union. 54 say we should go ahead. 54 of the 29. But 29% of 29%, or less than 10%, that say we should hold up on our trade deal because of the head tax. But, then we say, in general, do you favor or oppose the U.S. entering into trade agreements with the Soviet Union? 59 favor, 23 oppose. That's strong. But then we say, if the U.S. were to increase its trade with Russia, and these, I'm not sure how good these questions are. We worked them out with these people and tried to get a thing that would give us a valid reading. If the U.S. were to increase its trade with Russia, government subsidies would have to be paid to the shipping industry to make it competitive with that of foreign countries. Would you favor or oppose such government subsidies to our shipping industry? 30 favor and 40 oppose. And 30 don't. In much of its trade with foreign countries, the U.S. extends credit to foreign governments. Should similar credits be extended to Russia for trade we do with them or not? 33 extend credit, 49 no credit. And then, this got too complex, I think, but we said we tried to get to the most favored nation, it didn't work out right. In order to buy in the U.S., Russia has to sell the U.S. sitting there unnecessary dollars. As far as such deals in the U.S. are concerned, should the Soviets be treated equally with other nations, or should they be treated better or not as well? 78% said equal, 2% said better, and 11% as well.
That doesn't suck.
It didn't come out right.
Most favorite nations is the way we treat most people.
Yeah.
It's really basically you want to treat them in an unfavorable
way. Yeah.
So the first answer, equal.
Equal is 78, and 2
better.
So 80% say treat equal or better.
That's right.
And 11 say don't treat them as well.
Yeah. My view about the trade deal is that it can be good if it's presented very generally. Get into that. So I look.
Right.
And they're paying Lend-Lease $750 million.
And if you don't make it, most favored nation is a misnomer. We ought to, if we have to talk about most favored nation, we ought to try and change that around.
Talk about it in terms that we're going to give the right
same treatment,
same agreement that we're treating to give the other nations of the world. I'll be sure you get that to Henry Lee's shop and that Peterson so that he understands it.
Okay.
Our purposes that they should be treated the same as other nations. Other trading nations, including in the name of you, Japan, and so forth, and so on, and so on.
I think, on the other hand, just the fact of making a trade agreement shows foreign policy progress, even though when you put it down to the trade agreement itself, it may not help with the intellectuals,
help with the assholes, you know, and those. I think it's all right.
It doesn't hurt, certainly.
We're moving along on these things. And to a certain extent, you know, like the China thing, a lot of people were concerned about this or that, and they sort of trust us in doing the right thing.
Yeah.
What's the situation about Henry's return? Anything yet? Coming back today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I think he's not coming back today. Question is whether he comes back tomorrow.
Wait a minute. You started the meeting Sunday.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are the meetings. Today's Monday.
You mean he's going to go for the third day?
Yeah. He's going for the third day. The question is whether he comes back tomorrow. That Haig just talked to Kennedy and said that as of now, their plan was to come back tomorrow, but they might possibly stay over to Wednesday. So, damn Henry, he's going to play the game of going to Hanoi.
Well,
I was thinking about that. He was talking about it before lunch.
I'm going to play it unless I told him it's wrapped up.
Even if it's wrapped up, there's some merit to requiring him to come home and report to you and then go to him. Rather than letting him go from Paris to there.
You can't go from Paris to there.
Oh, no. That's what he was talking about doing.
No, sir. No, sir. Get that message right away. I mean, if there's any question about that, that's clearly understandable.
You need to have him report to you
before he goes off. Can't go off and make some goddamn deal with him on long distance. No, sir. Saigon, and then to Hanoi, and then back to Saigon. And he can't do any of that without coming here first.
because they've got to go to Peking and Moscow. Moscow and Peking. On the way back. What about you? You sent a message to a or is it necessary? Is it necessary? You won't do it without. No, I think it's a good idea. I think it's important. No, we'll get him upset. Yeah. I think it's, he'll read something into it. He won't do it without checking. All right. Well, if you get any opportunity at all, especially if I have to have a talk with him about this. Well, I want a progress. Send him one in yet? I'm not checking in and see what kind of just talking. He's able to give me a part of it. It's the end of the day already. It's kind of bothered us all in this Canada. No, I'll check with him. If you would know. Because I know I should have one. I got to think about this man. Keep Henry going further than you like to. Pitch today.
should take two up on the line that he is now peddling, which is that no Vietnamese settlement will be made except by the South Vietnamese. Which was the line he was peddling to his Congress, his Senate, when, while Haig was there. And he says, what you should do is take him up on that. Maintain, you should not follow the government saying withdrawing the support to you. That would be immoral, wrong, not to our interest. You should provide him with more support than the Soviet and China are providing, get out, providing North Vietnam in terms of material. You should go to the pre-Kennedy level of military advisors. You should pull everything else out. Stop the mining,
yeah.
And pull out of the negotiations.
Right.
And tell two, go ahead and negotiate.
Phrase with your prisoners.
He overlooks that completely.
That's the point. I thought of that too long ago.
He completely, as I recall, the
sure he
completely omits the prisoner.
Sure he does, because basically that is the line that you could take in other words, the United States will withdraw as far as we're concerned and support the South Vietnamese. Their efforts to defend themselves. In other words, the war is Vietnamized. Period.
Total Vietnamized.
But what in the name of God do you do with the prisoners?
That's my point. Well, then you're back to McGovern saying you'd go begging.
That's why you've got to continue that in mind, that, or something. You've got to have some leverage in the prisoners. It's a good line.
That's the one.
I thought that's a lot. His, my own inclination is frankly that that's what we're going to have to do sooner than later. We just say, though, this is it. If you stay, we'll support you. But we're, the United States now has completed its actions. You can do what you want. The question is whether that brings you down. If it does, then it brings you down. That's what I do with this one.
At some point, you have to face that because you can't.
He's got to pull it on the side of the wall.
Talked to Rogers, and
he's all set.
While he set for press conference, he said, of course, he had no thought of saying anything about the negotiations that he has assumed all along. The line was and would continue to be the,
I guess, I know he won't say anything, but I know that even if he winks, Henry will say he screwed it up. That's what I want.
He said, if you think I shouldn't have the press conference, that's fine. I won't. He said, I see three possibilities here. Number one, to do nothing. I mean, not have a press conference, just turn it off. And he said, I have no problem doing that. I'm not committed to it. Number two, I can take the position of saying only repeating what the president said, that was what I was going to do. That, you know, the negotiations are a sensitive stage, and I will have no comment on them whatsoever. Number three would be to say that, and then add that at the census stage, I have no comments whatsoever. I would say, however, that certainly this is no time for any talk by anybody about throwing in the towel and leaving it at that, which would sink McGovern on his throwing in the towel. And he says, as far as McGovern's foreign policy speech is concerned, which you talked about last week, says, and I think he's right, that's got no attention. And there's a real question, maybe there's no point in taking him on it because it'll only escalate it. He said, I can't take him on some of the other things, like his, you know, the Chinese should take the responsibility for Asian stuff. He says, everything's going so well, and the government's breaking him off in little pieces on each thing, that there is a real question always as to whether we're better off keeping quiet or saying something.
I keep quiet.
So he said, if you don't want me to do anything at all, I won't do anything. That'll break Colson's heart. He's all crying out, that's the linchpin of his blasting McGovern. But I'll tell you, with Henry in Paris, McGovern doesn't need to be blasted.
I think with Henry in Paris, you just got to tell Colson that you're just going to have to. It's just better than nothing you said.
So what, he should have no press conference, or he should take the only what the president said?
I have one.
and see what happens following.
I think we have to, in this case, probably follow.
I just simply put it on the basis that there isn't anything you can say at a press conference that might not be harmful. In other words, you can say no comment. I think this is better. It's better to keep McGovern guessing.
Trying to figure out McGovern's line, you know, he's making a terrible mistake. He's got a great chance. What he should do is call a press conference this afternoon. Say, I'm delighted that Dr. Kissinger is staying over in Paris. They're getting somewhere, and I have therefore canceled my plans to make a speech tomorrow night because I, of course, want to do nothing to interfere with peace negotiations anyway.
The line I used to take.
Sure. But look, he'd get more mileage out of that by far than he's going to get out of the speech.
It shows that he stays alive instead of partisan.
Pull him out of the mud.
No, I simply think the danger is too great at this point. Henry Rogers, even if he repeats what I said about being the sensitive stage, of course, I have said at one point, I just don't want that said. Okay, that's at this point.
Okay.
That's fine. This is well a better way of the present day.
All right. Mitchell asked me to get a reading from you on whether you would be, I think it would be political plus to meet with Gott of U.S. Steel and Able Steelworkers on foreign steel imports. They would like to, and Gott is trying to put it together apparently.
Well,
he talked to Mitchell and said they'd like to see you. And then he, you know, if he came in, he'd come in with Able, he realized
I won't want to see God or any of
U.S. Steel because alone. Couldn't see you alone.
The only difficulty is there isn't anything we can do about foreign steel imports.
Well, that's it.
That's the question.
And John Mitchell said also he would assume there would be problems with other countries if you got into that. It would be better not to.
I think we can't raise it now. I think in a political atmosphere, I'll be glad to see them after the election.
Thank you.